Imani Moss was failed by a lot of the adults around her. After her birth, her mother surrendered parental rights to her and her four siblings due to her drug addiction. Imani ended up in the custody of her father, Amon. He then met Tiffany Moss, a preschool teacher, married her, and moved in with her, having two children of their own. However, for some reason, Imani's new stepmother was extremely cruel to her, starving and beating her until she tragically died from the abuse. Then, Tiffany and Imani's father did the unthinkable. Welcome to History's Biggest Villains. Imani Moss was born on April 23, 2003 in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Imani's birth mother surrendered her parental rights to her and her four siblings due to her drug addiction. Imani's father, Iman, who was charged with battery and second-degree child cruelty in 2004, gained custody of Imani. Iman raised Imani, often taking her to church with him. It was here where he met Tiffany Moss, a preschool teacher. The two got married in July 2009. And had two children. Shortly after their marriage, Tiffany became extremely abusive towards six-year-old Imani, although there are no records of Tiffany being abusive towards her biological children. The abuse came to a head on March 29, 2010. Imani told a school nurse that she was scared of going home with the bad report card as she was worried of what her parents would do to her. She even told the nurse that her stepmother hit her with a curtain rod. The nurse then inspected Imani's body and found several scabs, bruises, and welts on her arms, back, chest, legs, and shoulders. The nurse then reported this to the police. Tiffany told the police that she only hit Imani with the belt three times, but she was charged with first-degree child cruelty, pleading guilty and receiving 5 years of probation. This case was ultimately dismissed by the Georgia Division of Family and Child Services after Tiffany and Imani completed parenting classes. Imani was sent to live with her grandmother Robin after this incident, living with her for 6 months. Imani's school performance improved after she lived with her grandmother. You don't say. However, Imani fought for custody of his daughter, and in the fall of 2010, Imani was returned to live with her stepmother and father. Robin fought hard to retain custody of Imani, but she couldn't persuade the authorities to give her custody, though she suspected Imani was being abused. Because Tiffany pled guilty to child abuse, she was not allowed to teach preschool anymore. Tiffany resented Imani for this, as she blamed the girl for her job loss. In July 2012, 9-year-old Imani ran away from home twice. On one occasion, she went to the apartment office and told the landlord she wanted to run away because her stepmother had tied her up with a belt and placed her in a cold shower. The police responded and were told by Moss that Imani was lying. Because there was not enough evidence, Imani was returned home. On the other occasion, she was found sleeping in the bushes of a nearby apartment complex by a police officer. Imani told the officer that she had run away because her stepmother was mean to her. The officer reported the event to Child and Family Services, filing runaway and curfew violation charges against Imani to ensure that she would see a juvenile court judge. Like, this is a 9-year-old running away from home. You don't see the signs? Like, this is the second time in a month that a 9-year-old girl has ran away from home. Like, I don't know how you don't see this. The Moss family moved around a lot from 2011 to 2013. In May of 2013, they visited Iman's sister, Sharonice, for Mother's Day. Sharonice and her grandmother, Robin, noticed that Imani's head was shaved, and when they confronted Tiffany about it, she said, "If you act ugly, you should look ugly." This Mother's Day get-together was the last time anyone outside of Imani's immediate family saw her alive. After Imani finished fifth grade, her parents decided to pull her from school and homeschool her. Sharonice objected to this, asking Child and Family Services to intervene, which they didn't. In August 2013, Child and Family Services failed to act on an anonymous tip that Imani was being neglected by her father and stepmother and appeared to be thin. Robin ended up filing a lawsuit against Child and Family Services, stating that they never visited the home and never conducted a follow-up due to having no current address and no current maltreatment. In the late summer of 2013, the Mosses moved to an apartment in Lawrenceville, Georgia. During this time, Imani worked two jobs, making him largely absent from his daughter's life. He would leave for his first job in the early morning, briefly return in the late afternoon, then leave for a second job around 6 p.m. before finally returning at around 10:30 or 11 p.m. While Amon was at work, Tiffany was left to care for the children. Yeah, you know, the one that has a child abuse charge and the one that's been beating your daughter senselessly and what? Okay, it's not just her. It ain't just her that's at fault for this. It was at this point that Tiffany began to starve Amani, also confining her to her bedroom. The neighbors only saw Moss's biological children and didn't know that they had an older sister. Amani lost a large amount of weight, becoming too weak to move or leave her bed. Although Amani was locked up in her room, starving to death, Tiffany's two biological children were fed and taken care of. Oftentimes, Tiffany sent Amon pictures of meals that she prepared for her children. And in another instance, she asked him to bring home cookie dough so she could bake. At trial, the prosecutors pointed out that Amani would have been able to smell the baked cookies as she sat in her room, starving to death. On October 24, 2013, Amon came home from work only to hear Tiffany tell him that something was wrong with Amani. Amon went to the bathroom to find his daughter convulsing in the bathtub with her eyes rolling back and forth. Instead of calling for an ambulance, Amon put her in her bed where she laid there for the next 3 days, rejecting her father's attempts to feed her. On October 28, 2013, Amani died. The medical examiner said she was severely underweight, more or less skin and bones. She weighed 32 pounds, the weight of a toddler, and her autopsy showed that her organs were shrunken. On the day of her death, Tiffany called Amon at work to tell him that Amani was dead. Amon actually finished his shift. What? I'm sorry. Your wife calls you and tells you that your daughter died, and you finish your entire work shift. Like, you don't even tell your boss, hey, I think my daughter's dead. Can I leave early? Like, what? Coming home to a house that seemed normal, with the other children playing and Tiffany watching TV, he found his daughter lying face down on a blanket on her bedroom floor. He told Tiffany they should call the police. She insisted that they couldn't because she would lose her children. She told Amon they needed to hide Amani's body and be on our criminal mind. Amon then wrapped his daughter's body in blankets and moved her to another room. Amani's body stayed in the apartment for several days while her parents lived life as normal. Amon would later testify that he would go to work and spend time at home with Amani's body grieving. There's no smell? Oh! In the weeks after Amani's death, Tiffany and Amon formulated a plan to cover up the murder. They would dispose of the body and report her as a runaway. Tiffany went to Anna's Linens and bought new sheets and a new coverall, as Amani's old sheets were soaked with urine and feces. Amon went to Walmart, purchasing a steel trash can, trash bags, charcoal, and lighter fluid. On Halloween, they planned to put Amani's body in the trash can and burn it. But much to their surprise, her body was stiff with rigor mortis. They used duct tape to compress her body, then they wrapped her in a comforter and stuffed her in a trash can. On November 1st, Amon and Tiffany put the trash can with Amani's body in the trunk and took the other two children with them to find a spot to burn it. Once they found their location, they removed the can from the car, adding charcoal to the can before dousing Amani's body in lighter fluid, setting her ablaze. As the couple watched the little girl's body burn, they quickly found out that the fire was nowhere near hot enough to burn her body to ash. Then they put the fire out, placing the can with Amani's burnt body back in the trunk before driving back home. The day after this incident, Amon went to work with his daughter's body still in the trunk. He then confessed to a friend about the murder, and the friend told him to call the police. Amon then went home, went to work at his second job, then decided to call the police. He called them at 4 a.m., telling them he was suicidal. When Tiffany heard that he called the police, she put the trash can with Amani's remains in the grass near their apartment and fled with the children. When the police arrived, Amon told them that Amani drunk some chemicals and died. Then he panicked and tried to cremate her body. The police didn't believe his story and identified Amon and Tiffany as suspects. Amon was taken into custody as Tiffany turned herself in after dropping her children off at her mother's house. Amon confessed to covering up Amani's murder by reporting her as a runaway and trying to burn her body. In 2015, he pled guilty to felony murder and concealing a death. He was sentenced to life without parole. In exchange, he agreed to testify against Tiffany, who rejected a plea deal that would have allowed her to be sentenced to life in prison. The case against Tiffany instead went to trial. Tiffany's trial began on April 15, 2019. Despite the fact that she had appointed counsel, Tiffany decided to represent herself, as her counsel would just be on standby to answer any legal questions. Along with refusing to utilize her standby counsel, Tiffany didn't give an opening statement, nor did she cross-examine any witnesses or give a closing statement, or what I like to call a waste of time. The prosecution called 18 witnesses to the stand. On April 29th, Tiffany was convicted on all 6 counts, including 1 count of malice murder, 2 counts of felony murder, 2 counts of cruelty to children, and 1 count of concealing a death. The jury deliberated for less than 3 hours. During sentencing, Tiffany declined to address the jury, present any mitigating evidence, or have her relatives testify on her behalf. She also refused to make a closing statement. Again, a waste of time. The jury deliberated her sentence for 2 days and ultimately agreed on the death penalty, as Tiffany was officially sentenced to death by lethal injection, with her execution date set between June 7th and 14th of 2019. However, her execution date came and went due to her filing multiple appeals. She is currently incarcerated at Arundale State Prison and is Georgia's only female death row inmate. Although Tiffany went pro se for her trial, she accepted representation for her appeals. Soon after she was sentenced to death, her lawyers filed a motion asking for a new trial, arguing that Moss was not competent to act as her attorney. According to her attorneys, Moss had neuropsychological testing data that showed that the defendant had damage to the premotor and prefrontal regions of the brain. The 2 other children were sent to live with foster parents after their parents went to prison. Amani's murder led to harsh criticisms of Georgia's child welfare system. After the trial, an intake case manager, a social services administrator, and a program assistant were all fired, with others being reportedly disciplined. This incident led the department to enact reforms, including deeper investigations into allegations of abuse and changing how it assembles maltreatment reports. New case managers and supervisors were hired, reducing caseloads. You could have hired new people this entire time, but you were just being cheap? Wow. Agency workers no longer decide whether reports warrant investigations based entirely on information gathered over the telephone. Additionally, no case is assigned a less serious, low priority status until a caseworker meets a child who allegedly has been abused. Man, this really killed me. Like, it says no case is assigned a less serious, low priority status. This is child abuse. How is any case low priority when it's a child getting abused? Like, what? I don't even understand. Like, Tiffany, she's definitely at fault, but Amon is at fault too. You failed your daughter. You literally failed your daughter, man. Like, you took her from her biological mother who was a drug addict. Then you took her to, then you married a psychopath, and you didn't notice that your daughter was getting smaller. You didn't check on your daughter when you got home from work. Oh, I worked 2 jobs. I was only home X amount of hours a day. You could have checked on your daughter, man. You could have easily checked. You could have easily popped the door open and seen what she was doing. You didn't see that she was starving and dying. So, like, when Tiffany called you about her being dead, you finished your shift and then came home and then put her in the bed instead of calling the police. You should have called the police the first time when she was convulsing in the bathtub. Then you decide to burn your daughter's body. For what? For what? And you didn't even get that accomplished. You just showed how terrible of a person you are. Just like Tiffany. Tiffany's already a terrible person. Child and Family Services deserves the blame too. Why are you receiving all this information and not investigating? They're giving you information. They're telling you, hey, there's something going on. This little girl, like, she's starving. And you're just, whatever. She'll be all right. That's really how it is. And now, like, it takes a child to die for y'all to actually do something. That's the wild part. It takes enough, like, when enough children die, that's when they'll do something. It's like, this death was just an anomaly. But when there's multiple anomalies, you can't just ignore them. RIP, poor little Amani, man. I feel so bad for her. Because it's like, she never found a loving home outside of her grandmother's house and all of everyone outside of her immediate family. Like, it just sucks, man. Like, especially hearing that to a little girl, to a child, it hits the heartstrings even more. But let me know if you enjoyed this case. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Hit that subscribe button if you're new to the channel. Turn on my post notifications if you haven't already. Thank you so much. Jesus Christ, I'm out. Peace.